This is the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project. I am Roseanne Ariel, here with Aviva Karev, interviewing Dr. Rose Middleman. Today is August 1st, 1989. Okay, why don't we pick up? What year did you graduate high school?
February 1928.
Okay, and did you have, were there any special honors or awards or?
Well, when I was in Westinghouse High School, I was a high honors student.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Peabody, I was simply amazed at the speed at which they moved. And I had taken Geometry 1, gotten an A in it. Geometry 2 teacher was hard to follow, and I flunked Geometry 2. I mean, they just moved at a much faster pace, so It took me I had to go to summer school, and I was an honor student after that. I mean, It was just a change of environment. Yeah, and a change of pace. So I did not graduate with honors.
No. What about, where did you go to college?
I went to Pitt
For
all my degrees.
Did you live at home?
Oh, sure. Everybody that lived in Pittsburgh lived at home. Remember, that was a depression. Well, I started in 28. It wasn't depression yet, but it came. Mm-hmm. But people didn't live in a dorm,
mm-hmm.
or very few.
Mm-hmm.
Commuted by streetcars. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very good grades at Pitt, which was actually easier than Peabody High School. Peabody was very good high school. Had very high standards, and I got into medical school after 2.5 years.
After 2.5 years at Pitt,
mm-hmm.
was that early acceptance or
no?
Was that
you could start applying after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be a mid-year student, so it was 2.5 years.
What made you decide to go to medical school?
When I was in college, it just appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
No special thing.
Mm-hmm. Was that unusual to have a Jewish female apply to medical school then?
Well, Jewish there were other Jewish females that had graduated, 5 or 6 before me. I certainly wasn't a pioneer, maybe about that many.
5 or 6?
Yeah.
That's still about too many.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in those days, Pitt Medical School took 67 students every year. Of them, 7 were Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and 3 were women. And I sometimes think that in my favor was the fact that I filled 2 quotas for them with 1 body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was both Jewish and female. And you know, I had the grades to compete.
Uh-huh.
Actually, in those days, it was very hard to get in a medical school, and lots of very, very highly qualified people didn't get in. I mean, I was really lucky. And then the people didn't get in, they started using pressure through their political friends,
mm-hmm.
or people who were on the board of the university.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason that it was so hard to go into
medical? There were more people applying than
That's the only reason?
Yeah, that was the main reason.
And the 2 reasons you said, being a woman and
well,
Jewish.
Well, I think so, yeah. But there were others that preceded me. Dr. Florence Marcus is still living. You should really interview her. She's
mm-hmm.
quite a bit older. Not quite a bit, but she's older than I am. And she's a real pioneer in other things. She's really had a very interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I was accepted, and I was told to send in a deposit if I still wanted to go, as I do. I sent in a deposit, never thinking to send it by registered mail. And guess what? I don't think it got lost. I think they were under great pressure to free a place in the Jewish quota. And I called about 10 days later because I hadn't heard from them. They were supposed to send me some kind of indication. And they said, we never got your deposit. And it was already past the deadline, and I was out.
How much was the deposit?
Oh, probably $50. Mm. It wasn't a big deposit. And the whole tuition was $400 a year in medical school.
What did you do then?
Then I started, really became frantic, and I went to see Dr. Lowy, who was my chemistry professor, and he knew the people at the medical school, and he talked to them. And I went to see the dean, and they said, still hasn't come. Past deadline, we don't, you know, that was the agreement, you get the deposit in by X date. So after about a week of fooling around, 8:30 one morning they called and said, your deposit just came in the mail. And I don't believe it for a minute. I think they were trying to release my place because somebody was applying a lot of pressure to get in, because a lot of people were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I heard a person who was told it was a very good chance, and he was using political pressure to get in. So I almost didn't get in, but I did get in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did you start right away?
Well, you're accepted in the early summer, and you start in September.
So you did 2.5 years of college, and then you went into medical school.
Yeah, and then after 2 years of medical school, those 2 years counted, and I got a BS degree with my 2 years of medical school counting to make up my...
I see.
So I went through a graduation at the college and got my BS degree.
But medical school was still 4 years.
Yeah, and then after 4 years, I got my MD degree. But they substituted 2 years of medical school for 2 years of liberal arts or science or whatever.
How was it in terms of paying tuition? I mean, that was the Depression. Was that a hard time at that time?
It might have been, but it happened that my mother very wisely put away my own father's insurance money and saved it for my education. And it was easy, you know. I didn't even need that much. I think it was all $2,000 or something. But you see, the tuition was only $400 a year.
Right.
And you had to buy a microscope for $129 or something like that. It wasn't very expensive in those days. And that was it.
Was that medical books, textbooks?
They were incredibly cheaper than they are now. I mean, they were more than standard books, but most of them were $8 and $10,
mm-hmm.
$12.
Hmm. And what was going to medical school like then,
well,
as compared to now?
Oh, I'm sure it was very different, because there were only three women in our class. And
three students in the class?
Only three women.
Oh, three women.
Yeah, and 64 men.
Mm-hmm.
And the men were okay. I had been warned. I had a cousin who was a physician. He said, you know, they will harass you. They'll tell you dirty jokes just to get a rise out of you. And so I was all prepared. And if someone told me a dirty joke, I suddenly became deaf. I just didn't react.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it worked pretty well. So they were respectful, but they didn't get anywhere with this kind of harassment with
mm-hmm.
me. And I really didn't have any problems. I got along well with
my How about your class. Teachers?
Well, they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was no...
no differentiation
yes,
between men
was,
and women?
Yes, there was, yeah, in urology class. In those days, they would not allow a female medical student to see a man in the nude, or to see a man's genital organs.
How are you to study urology then?
Well, and we got, the women in the class were told that since you can't see a man exposed, I will take you in and let you watch me do a minor procedure called a cystoscopy, where it has to be done in an X-ray room, and we can't get a group in. You'll be the only one. That was what we were paid off with, but we were not allowed to
study
see the patients,
uh-huh.
the men patients. That was the differentiator. That was the only time.
Hmm. And what type of physician are you? Were you? Are you?
Well, I was a GP. I got married the day after I graduated, and
which was when? What was that?
1934. And when my daughter was born, I was practicing in Youngstown, Ohio, and of course I closed the office and stayed home with her until she was about a year old. And so I decided to get some graduate training. I came to Pittsburgh and I attended a number of seminars and lectures and so forth, and then I got a fellowship for a 2-month course at New York postgraduate in endocrinology. So basically I got pretty good training in medical gynecology doing that. It was an informal kind of specialization. There were very few residencies. There were obstetrics residencies, but very few residency trainings.